Good afternoon, Muskegon. This is Tony Williams.
And Chauncey Williams with the show What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Very good. How was your New Year, Brother Chauncey?
New Year was pretty good. I did some things I was supposed to do, you know, make your New Year's resolution, put those things together, and, you know, make sure I praise God and build my plan for 2016. And make sure that my financial future is brighter and my family is doing a lot better and keep on growing and working in that progress. And just thinking about our show also and our people out there that we're helping, our clients, and our community as a whole.
Yes, that's, you know, from the feedback that I've gotten, we got a lot of folks that are interested in the things that we have to say, which is good. And it's just knowledge and information. And that's how you get better at whatever you do in life. Just have more knowledge and more information. And that's what we're here for.
Yep, I've been getting a lot of good positive feedback also, and even just some things that we probably can have future shows about. But it's been pretty good, been received pretty good, and people tell me all the time, say, man, you're giving some knowledge away for free that people usually don't get in the past. So they're enjoying listening to the show.
Well, you know, I learned a long time ago, Chauncey, you know, you don't have to get paid for everything you do in life. Sometimes you need to do things just because it's the right thing to do, and you'll be blessed somewhere else down the road. So we're not going to put everything in monetary terms as far as being successful when you're sharing your knowledge and information with people that have not had the experience or have the tools that you have to get that information. So that's good.
I believe in that also. Like you said, if you help enough people get what they want, you get everything you want. And a lot of times you just give it for free and just, you know, and trust God in it, and he builds it. It's just called applied faith. It's like, I'm going to do it, I'm going to help, I'm going to build. And what I've noticed is everybody not going to be happy even when you help them.
No. You know, I got a saying about some folks, man, if you gave them $1 million, they would complain about having to pay taxes on it.
Man, paying taxes. And that's that. We're around that time of year right now.
Yes, we are.
Tax time. And I know we were talking a couple weeks ago, and you were saying a good way to kick our show off for the new year would be talking about investing one-on-one. And
yeah,
that's something that it's not new to me, but I usually trust a professional, and I always trust the pool, the mutual funds.
Yep.
And I'm not an aggressive investor. I do like some investing in some stocks, but I'm not an avid investor. I don't do it every day. I don't day trade, but I have friends that do it. And I've always been interested about it, so I'm going to be kind of learning from you today, Tony. So I'm going to be not a novice, but it's not totally new to me. But it's some things that I would like to learn and discover. And having you here today, and like you said, me being in credit restoration and student loan and helping people build their financial future, investing is the next stage of that anyway. So it's good to bring us together and have those two roads meet.
Yeah, that's another line within in the world of investing is stocks, right? And I think a lot of folks, you know about the stock market, they hear about it, but don't know quite how it works. And we're just going to use the basic understanding of the stock market today and just kind of talk through some stocks that we deal with on a daily basis, talk about how to get started. I always recommend that folks do it as a hobby first, so that will allow them to get better understanding on how this works. And that's how I got started. It was just a hobby. I was intrigued about it, so I did research, reading. I don't know what you consider an expert, but I don't think I'm an expert, but I do have working knowledge of the stock market, the world market, currencies, things like that, because that's what powers this global market that we're in, is stocks and currencies. And, you know, you can be a part of that, small part.
And like you said, you talked to me and said, make some picks. And I was like, well, I thought about my everyday life. And I say, what are the things that I eat? What are my interests? What are some things that I wear? And because every single day we're advertising a product or something for somebody else, so why not own a piece of that company?
Right.
So I pulled some stocks and some things that I currently own and some things that I currently do on a daily basis that I use every day. So I say, well, let me see what he can do for me today. And these are some stock options that I thought about, audience, that I'm going to be using in 2016. So you can pick up and learn something today.
Okay. So we're going to get started talking about how do you You know, how do you get started with this as a hobby? Well, there's a lot of online platforms you can use, like E-Trade, Ameritrade, Scottrade, Fidelity. And these companies basically do trading at a discount basis. Normally, you can make trades for less than $7.
Okay.
Versus using a stockbroker who's going to charge you commissions, and it's a lot more expensive. So let me ask you a question.
So you're saying I can trade stocks by myself, which I've done previously, but also having someone do it for me. What is the real difference in having that person do it for me? Like, what are they giving me? Because they're supposed to be a so-called expert. If I pay them and saying that my money has a better chance of doing better or what?
Yeah. The doctors, the professionals in the world don't really have the time or probably the knowledge to understand all the inner workings of a stock system. So you've probably seen it on TV where these guys they call it the boiler room. They're sitting on the phones and they're calling these doctors up and they tell them about how they got this stock that's about to come on the market. It's going to blow up. You need to get in on the ground level, you know, and to get in, it's going to cost you like 10 grand. So that 10 grand means to the doctor, that's discretionary income.
He got it already. He just throw that away.
If I lose the 10, you know, things are still going to be the same for me, you know. So these stockbrokers do that because these guys don't have the knowledge. They have the money. They want to see it grow. And unfortunately, greed motivates a lot of these guys to use these stockbrokers and these investors, because we've all heard of the Bernie Madoffs of the world.
Yes.
Right? The Ponzi schemes. We even had it local here at one of the school systems.
Yes, we did.
Got involved in a Ponzi scheme. And it's a lot of it is driven just through pure greed versus trying to, you know, use your capital and appreciation from the standpoint, if I invest $10,000 at the beginning of the year and if I made $12,000 by the end of the year, that was a good year. But no. People say, well, I got to have $20,000 or $30,000 and $40,000. And you got guys out there that'll tell you that's what they can do for you. And they'll send you these bogus statements, and you walking around thinking you're making all this money, but yet you are financing this individual's lifestyle because you're not smart enough to know what to do to find out where your money is.
Wow. So that's all it is. You paying somebody, instead of picking up the book for yourself, you could do it yourself. I know one of the products, like you said, for like a hobby, one of the products I use is acorn.com.
Okay.
I have a phone app on my phone. And what it does is it round off the change, my spare change, and I pick stocks. So the stock options I gave you, I've already done that in a smaller app.
Okay, yeah, that's cool.
And I buy a piece of the stock and I watch those trends, because if you know me, I'm not going to let somebody just advertise me for free.
No.
I'm always, if I buy something, and my wife tells me all the time, it's like, why you always have to feel like that people can't benefit off you? I say I am. That's charity. When you give back services and products.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody's going to put a brand on my back or on my feet, or I'm going to drive a vehicle, I'm going to figure out how can I be invested in this company so my money can go a little bit longer, so I can be proud to wear that product in.
Yeah, because the face of that brand, they're getting paid millions of dollars, right?
Yes.
For the face of the brand. If you're wearing that, everybody know what the Polo logo looks like, or the Nike swoosh and all. That's advertising.
That's a check.
You're not getting paid for it.
To where?
Unless you own
part of the company.
Okay.
Part of
and
the
when
company.
You, when you purchase stock, you are an actual owner. You get to vote. You get proxies in the mail. And they'll tell you that you get to vote on who the chairman is. Yeah, the chairman of the boards. And there's a lot of things that come into play when you're a stockholder. All you need is one share of stock. For instance, General Motors.
Okay.
We know the troubles that General Motors went through, right?
Yes.
But they bounce back, and I think General Motors is a viable company in the United States and will always be one. So as of today, a share of General Motors costs
$34.
$34. Okay.
So one share, that means one. This one share costs $34.
Yeah, just one share. The market cap of General Motors is $52 billion. So that says that they have outstanding over 12 million shares. So you take the price of the share times the number of outstanding shares multiplied, and that gives you the market cap. So that's basically what they're worth. They're probably worth a lot more than that because they own other subsidiaries. But just from a stock standpoint, pure standpoint of stock, that's where they're at.
And that's publicly? That's,
yes.
Okay, so like you said, other subsidiaries, that could be private things that they own and hold.
Yeah, like General Motors Credit.
Okay.
Okay, they have a credit arm.
Yes, you can buy a house. You can do get a home loan, or you can get different things from them that they usually didn't recognize, like credit cards and things like that.
Right. And then there's just joint ventures they're involved in Europe. You know, when we think of American car makers, we think that's what they do is make cars in America. But they make them all over the world, just like the Toyotas and the Mercedes-Benz. These are worldwide markets, which is a global economy. That's why when something happens, just like the other day with the Saudis and the Iraqis, they starting to beef.
That's right.
All right. So the market dropped almost 400 points.
Because they're involved in what kind of product?
Oil.
Oil. So that's already, that's gas prices for us. They'll gauge the gas pump.
Yeah. So the Chinese market, all right, they had a huge sell-off, which trickled over to the United States. Those two world events triggered nervousness in the stock market in the United States.
So the trends, so a global economy can be like a double-edged sword. It could be good, yeah, and it could be bad.
Right, right. Because trust me, you know, American companies have great investments in overseas companies.
Okay? I've seen it. I bought a car, a General Motors car. I think it was an Impala, and years ago, and I popped the hood and I said, it said made in China.
Okay, yeah.
I was like, this is global economy.
Yes, it is. Yeah, they don't even, you know, a lot of times now they'll assemble them in the United States. Okay, but you're right. A lot of the parts, the factories in China are owned by American companies.
Okay, so like now you say if I buy the stock, okay, if I buy General Motors stock at $34. Now, I've seen in cases where you can buy a portion of that stock if you just buy it, if you're pooling it. Could you buy one share or you could buy
You can buy one share, or you can buy a mutual fund that has what they call a General Motors holding.
Okay.
Okay, but
that's the difference then.
That's the difference. But you're not, per se, a shareholder in General Motors from the standpoint where you don't receive proxies to vote. Okay, you have to actually own that stock outright, not through a mutual fund, to have the right to vote.
All right. And again, audience, mutual funds like a pool of stocks that you have.
Right.
And that's what a lot of my money is in a pool of stocks. So I treat the individual stocks as hobbies for myself.
Yeah, that's a good move. And mutual funds is basically, it's to help the average investor protect their
assets.
Okay. Because the market can be volatile. You know, if it drops, like yesterday, 400 points.
And when you say volatile, what do you mean? Like it could be violent? Like what?
Well, if you purchase, say, for instance, Apple at $105, and they came out with, say, you know what, there's a worm involved in the
certain technology.
In the certain technology in Apple, and that bad boy lost half of its value. So you paid $105 for it, but now it's worth $55. So you lost half your investment.
So if I buy it,
that's volatile.
And I own 10 stocks, that's $1,000. I just lost $500 of those.
Right. And there's institutional investors. We talked about market cap, but GM, the market cap of Apple is $587 billion. Okay? $587 billion. That's what the worth of Apple Incorporated is, because there's 43 million shares that are outstanding that people have purchased. Buy your share of Apple and you'll probably be good. We're going to run through a few of these that are kind of popular in the in our community, like Pandora.
Okay.
Pandora, its market cap is just shy of $3 billion. So you can see what the difference is if you talk about a Pandora versus an Apple.
Now, Pandora is that music program you can buy to just put on your phone.
Music
or
app.
Or your computer, and you can play it, pick a channel, if it's jazz, R&B, country, rock, you can play it, and it'll play all the top songs in that. In that
great genre. I like it. I really do. Now it's
you can buy stock in music like that.
$13.41 is what Pandora Media is selling for.
Now, how does like something like that trend? When I say trend, you know, like,
okay, 52 weeks high. So the market always looks at where has this stock been in the last 52 weeks, which is a year. So within a year, it has been as high as $22.60. The low is $11.38. So based on that information, it is currently at its low price. So it's kind of on sale.
Yeah, and it makes you think that when companies do mergers, like there are certain companies like I saw with Chrysler and it's the Beats headphones.
Their
sound system is ran by Beats. And then I was test driving the vehicle like last month around Christmas time just for the fun of it. Just somebody got me in one, and I looked and I saw Pandora was on the audio thing. I was like, wow, okay, Pandora is part of the merger
package
in this car. So they make every time that car is sold, Pandora gets a portion because they're running some type of free app. Music or app at the time where a customer has to pay into. So that helps the stock grow.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, just the exposure of it. Comcast, we all know about Comcast. Selling price is $56.43.
Comcast getting rich. In Muskegon, I think they got the area locked.
Oh, they do. It's Monopoly. Their market cap, $138 billion. Which, again, remember what we talked about with Apple. When you're doing a comparison, they were over $600 billion. So that tells you Apple is a huge, huge company. When Comcast, when you look at the vast reachings that they have, and they're at $138 billion.
Now, how much is the stock of Comcast?
$56.43. And the 52-week range is the low has been $50, and the high has been $64.99. So it's kind of in the middle, but further down on the low side.
Yeah,
so
it's gonna change
probably
that
not
much.
A good, not a bad buy.
Not a bad buy. And then plus, if you have cable, and boy, these cable bills high anyway, you might as well invest in the company.
Okay, might as well get part of your money back.
In some way possible, please.
Nike, $62.50 a share. Market cap, $107 billion.
So a pair of Jordans cost $220, I think. I don't know. I think that's the price.
Got to be in that range, yeah.
So save some money up every time you buy a pair of shoes, buy a stock or something. A product.
Right, a share of stock is less than a pair of Jordans.
So you can get four. You can get $62. You can get four stocks for a pair of shoes.
Yeah. Which let's talk about the range on the Nike. 52-week range. The low is $45, and the high is $68. So it's kind of trending towards the high side at $62.50. But the good thing about that is, at some point, that stock may split. Even if you buy it at the $62.50, you hold on to it. It goes up. You split. Instead of one share, you have two.
So now, when a stock split, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Like, when you say split, what do you like?
That's a good thing, man, when a stock split comes. So what happens is all these companies have their strategy.
So I got my $62, and I buy.
And it goes to $70.
Okay.
Say it goes to $70. And they said, okay, we want to make our stock attractive and affordable. So for all our customers out there that has one share of stock of Nike, we're going to split it. We're going to take the value down to $35. Okay, because it went up to $70. So we're going to split it, and we're going to give you two shares at $35. Same thing, right?
Okay.
But now I got more shares. So as those two shares begin to gain in value, that means you're going to basically double your money.
Now, how does that help the company when they split like that? Because it's like it's a cheaper stock. But
there
at the
you
same
go.
Time.
Influx of money. Okay, I can come in and buy Nike at. You know, when you look at the 52-week range, was $45. All right. Wow, it's on sale. I can come in and buy it at $30 because eventually, if you like the model that Nike has and the growth that you see, then you know that that company is still going to grow. So that price of that stock is only going to go up. And instead of having one share, I have two for the same price that I originally purchased it for. So it's a win-win for all parties involved.
Yep. I was talking to you earlier, I was thinking about a product that I just love, and it's a company I love that Nike sold my company.
Oh, what was that?
Cole Haan.
Cole Haan. I have some information on Cole Haan.
That hurt my heart because that makes me think, like, I mean, it's a high-end product of Nike, but it's for the man that like to dress up, but he's athletic. You know, he's going to be in the gym. He's going to be somewhere. He's going to be on his feet all day. And they had Nike technology inside the shoes.
Right.
Yeah. Like you told me, it was a private company, so it was kind of a gamble for Nike to invest into that. You gave us the background on that company.
Right. So now it's a privately held company, which says that it's a Cohan LLC, which says that you can't purchase any of that product. That's a privately held company. So it's not traded on the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ. But Nike sold it. It was a former subsidiary of Nike Design and sells upscale footwear and accessories for men, women, and children. The shoemaker also peddles his products through about 110 Cohan stores. That's a very small number of stores. And they do online selling as well. So that brand basically is closed to the public when it comes to buying stock. But doesn't mean you can't purchase the product if it's still good.
Yeah, but it makes you think, like, it's kind of got shaky then. There's some volatility with that company because if Nike backed out.
Yeah, they
didn't see no profit margin in it for them.
Right, and again, you know, Nike was saying that we're more in the sporting world where it clearly says that they're, you know, this Cohan design and sell footwear and accessories upscale for men, women, and children. So Nike probably just said, you know, that's not our core business, all right? We don't want to be in that market. So if we find somebody that wants to buy this subsidiary, we're going to sell it and continue to focus on what we do best, which is the basketball, the football,
golf,
the marketing, and the golf versus trying to, you know, do the
high-end fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think they sold it for I saw $250 million. It went
pretty. It's a bargain there.
Yeah, it was a bargain. It was a steal.
Got a steal on it.
Yep.
All right, Microsoft, $55.48.
I definitely had to do some split.
Market cap, $443 billion.
Yeah, that did some.
So when we talk about how much worth, what's our guy's name?
Bill Gates. I study him all the time. I study the way he thinks.
$443 billion. That's a lot of money.
I got a story. There's a quick story about him. In my classroom, I use him as a person of the week. And his wife, he met his wife when she was working for his company. She was working as an IT tech. And she was helping out with some of the products. And when she met him and her, they was like in round 97 or 98 or something.
Melissa Gates.
Yep. Smart woman, intelligent woman, you know, good leader. And she, you know, they into saving the world now. You know,
right. Trying to he won't give all his money away.
Yeah, that's his whole point. And I've studied a lot of that stuff in the past. People do that. They say they want to make a certain amount of money and they want to give it away in the second half of their life.
Yeah. Well, after
there's a story about her just real quick and we get back to the stocks. They're supposed to spend, I think, $1 million on a vaccination for like smallpox or something like that, or malaria in another country. She mistakenly put an extra zero on it, or extra two zeros, and they spent $1 billion instead. Mm-hmm. And it was on like 60 Minutes or 2020, and they asked her about it. She started laughing. She's like, oh, yeah, I do that all the time, make mistakes like that. And I was just like, wow.
Wow.
They let me know, like, it's funny. She's like, well, I just saved 1 billion more lives instead of 1 million.
Right. So
she looked at it like that. Going back to what you said earlier, just about don't worry about making money. Worry about just helping people. And it's treated like a hobby. So then you learn it, then it could probably replace your income.
I mean, they can't even spend the money that they have. You know, they just got that much money, man. We're going to hit a few of our favorites before we close the show. Facebook.
Okay. Facebook. I was just on that trying to respond to some clients. So let me know what that stock's going for.
$104 per share for Facebook. Market cap, $296 billion. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it makes you, this is what it makes me think about. Like, when you ask me about the list, and I say I'm doing Acorn with some of them, it makes me think that your everyday, your 24 hours, you should think about how you're spending your time, what products you're using, and see if you can invest in those things.
Yeah.
So when you say, that's a nice car, or that's a nice jacket, or that's a nice phone, own a piece of those companies. That's what I'm learning from all this right now.
That's it. One share at a time.
Yeah. Because if you're buying it and you're one person, you're a percentage of people that really like that product. Mm-hmm. It's a million people out there like you that like their product. So go on and invest in the audience. Buy into those companies.
Yep.
That's my advice.
Good advice. McDonald's Corporation, $118 per share. 52-week average was $87.
Wow.
So some point in time, if you had purchased it at $87, now it's worth $118. It's a nice pretty gain over the year, over the
That's
course
right.
of a year.
That's pretty good. It's a pretty good investment.
Yahoo, I don't know about Yahoo, $33.26. Its high over the 52-week period was $50.
That was one of the biggest search engines at first.
Yeah.
And it, yeah. And Google came in and took over.
Google.
It's That's the next Google. One, right?
Google's next.
Okay. So you hold up. Yahoo okay. said $55, right?
Yahoo is 50. No, 33.
33. So before we started the show, you told me to guess, right?
What? What the Google sold for?
I'm not even telling what I guessed. I'm not even telling the audience. I feel ashamed.
If you wanted to purchase one share of Google, we're going to give everybody about 5 seconds to play this mind game. Google, what would you think the price of one share of Google is based on some of the numbers that we've kicked around today?
So when I thought about Yahoo, I said, all right, I know it's worth more. I was like $78. I was like, I just tried to double it.
Time's up. One share of Google, $758.88.
Wow.
One share. All right. So if you would have bought some Google as an IPO, you'd be a rich person today. Market cap, $522 billion. That's a company that's powerful. $552 billion. 52-week low, $486. So at some point in time in the last 52 weeks, you had to purchase this at $486. You've almost doubled your money when you look at going up to where it's at now, $758, which is at a pretty close to the high for 52. A lot of money there, man. Verizon. We all know what Verizon do for us. $46.22 a share. Market cap, $188 billion. Walt Disney. $105 per share, worth $174 billion. But we're going to name a few that are more affordable. Sprint Corporation, $3.62. Great bargain. Buy you some Sprint.
That's what I'm doing.
Walmart, $61.30. 52-week high for Walmart was $90. It's kind of on sale now. Good time to buy Walmart. Let's see. Ford Motor Company. Talked about GM earlier. They were, it was $36. Ford Motor Company, you can buy a share of that for $14. Market cap, $56 billion. Just a couple more and we're going to wrap it up. Berkshire.
Mm.
Berkshire Hathaway. That's the company that Warren Buffett runs.
That's right.
$131 is the selling price of the shares in Berkshire Hathaway.
They got a lot of private holdings, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Very
Coca-Cola.
First.
Very Something diverse. That I remember a story. See, like when you mention those people, I always try to study their lifestyle. And when he purchased Coca-Cola, he raised the stock one penny. He raised the price. He didn't raise the stock.
Price, right.
The price of each Coke, a penny.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he did. He didn't change the production. He didn't change the name. He didn't change the brand. He didn't change the color. He was like, you guys can keep on working every day. Just charge one penny more.
One penny more.
On a sip.
And that's worth billions.
A Pepsi.
Okay. Market cap for Berkshire Hathaway, $333 billion.
And he only has a small team working with him. I think he only has like 12 people.
Yeah.
That manage everything.
That's it.
Ooh, I mean, everybody's millionaire. That's with those 12.
Yum Yum Brands. People don't understand what Yum Yum is. They own Kentucky Fried Chicken, Taco Bell, Pepsi. Yum Yum, $73 a share. Coca-Cola, $42.96 a share. 52-week high was at 43. So it's pretty close to its high. Probably not a good product to buy right now. United States Steel. We know about the Steel Corporation, Gary, Indiana, Pittsburgh. You can buy some U.S. Steel stock for $7.98. I think that's a bargain. 52-week high was $27.68.
Yeah, that's triple.
It's on sale. It's on sale. So we need to get some of that. And last one we're going to go is the Ralph Lauren. That's the Polo brand. $110. You can buy your stock of the Ralph Lauren Corporation. 52-week range on that one is $180 on sale. So just a small sampling. We could go on and on when you're talking about stocks and how it affects each one of us in our daily lives. But I think the takeaway should be, you know, get interested in this kind of stuff because this is what motivates the world. This is what this world is built on, is folks taking their money and investing it and making more money. You don't have to have a lot to get started. Like I said, there's a lot of online traders you can use. Just do some research. You can even take a couple $100 to get started. Pretty simple.
Yeah, I just think about like the products that I like to use. There's more than one me out there, and if it's a company, that means there's a million people behind it or more. So just look around at your clothing, probably the foods that you eat, the gasoline you use, the car you drive, the cell phone you talk on. Look at that stock and see. And just like you said, there's a lot of companies out there that can help you. And you can get your own broker, or you can go to a website, or you can do it like I started out with the penny stocks, and I do mutual funds on the pool side. So I take several of them and work with them in that way, and it's managed for my pension and my retirement. So, or you can do it where you can get some return on some money where you can pull it out anytime you want.
It's your money. You know, it's just another tool in the toolbox of financial planning.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
With What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for financial success at 103.7 The Beat. Thank you.